Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Planning a trip? What do you pack? How do you prepare? We'll be discussing travel today with veteran travel planner Andrea Schwartz. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Andrea is very well traveled, loves to travel, in fact, is a zealot about traveling, as I found in the last half hour of talk in the green room. She's a real expert on the national parks of this great nation, has hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim 8 times, and has been to over 40 national parks. But we'll talk all about travel and the passenger bill of rights and things that you may not have learned about airlines and hotels and reservations. It's Travel Today on the show, 800-348-2551. We'll be back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. Do you have wanderlust? London, Paris, Rome, Sydney, Antarctica, the world? Our very own region? It's a big place full of adventure just waiting for you. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or venturing out for the first time, there's quite a bit of planning and packing that has to happen before you leave home. We happen to have a travel expert in the studio with us today. Andrea Schwartz is a custom travel planner. She has been working with clients for 25 years. She's an expert on American and Canadian national parks, having hiked through over 40 of them, and will be hiking the Grand Canyon rim to rim 25 miles for the 9th time this coming September. She's also traveled in Asia, Africa, and Europe, and flown over Denali in a bush plane, like Indiana Jones. She loves to share travel tips with friends and clients, and her motto, it's a good one, unused vacation days cannot be made up in the next life. So if you're planning a trip, or even if you're just thinking about it, we'll focus on planning and preparation today. Ask your questions now. The number to call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Check in on Facebook at facebook.com/wamcradio. Tweet us at @WAMCVoxPop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number, 800-348-2551. Andrea Schwartz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am delighted to be here, and I'm looking forward to speaking with all of the listeners. So this should be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, you've already hit a home run. When a guest comes for a travel show and she brings a cake for the staff, yeah, you're in pretty good already.
I got a new oven 2 days ago. I had to test it out.
Very good. Fine work.
Thank you.
So you traveled. Now, you explain to me the mental reasoning that goes into crossing the Grand Canyon 9 times. Why?
Well, you know, the first time I was there, my son was about 1.5 years old, and my daughter was about 7. And the minute I saw it, I was intrigued, fascinated, amazed. It just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
It's a great wonder. And I said, I'm going to come back. I want to go to the bottom. I have to do this. And we did hike a little, but it's just so far you can carry a backpack with a 1.5 years old.
That is a year and a half old.
My son was 1.5 years the first time. So we walked about 1 mile down, but we weren't going any further.
No, you didn't bring a stroller there, right?
No, you cannot push a stroller.
So then 3, 4, 5 times, 8 times, a 9th time coming up.
Yeah.
Isn't there, haven't you seen it all?
Every time I get to the top, I think that I have and that maybe this is it. And then the minute I drive away from the canyon, it pulls me right back. It's in my DNA now, I think. It's just part of me, and I love being there. There is no phone. You can't reach anybody. They can't reach you.
That's a nice thing.
It is. And the oldest rock in the world is at the bottom, 3-billion-year-old rock at the bottom. Every turn around the bend, there are colors. There are different formations. It's a geologist's dream, and you cross the river many times. So when you come down from the North Rim, you're at 8,400 feet at the top, and even in September, October, it could be 30 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning when you head out. a couple of miles down and it's 100 degrees already.
Yeah.
So there's such drama with the weather, with the scenery. And actually, the North Rim has 7 bridges. So you cross 7 narrow little rickety bridges a few thousand feet high over the canyon. And what's interesting is I take a lot of pictures. And I look back at them, and I find that every year I take the same pictures. There's something about certain spots that are so uniquely beautiful, you have to take a picture. Even though you know you've done it before, you just have to take a picture. And then when you get to the bottom of the North Rim, you are at the Phantom Ranch, which is a historic place. There are some cabins. There's campsites. You're along the Bright Angel Creek. You can actually dip in the creek if you get too hot. There are waterfalls
nice. In
the inner canyon. And then you have to hike another mile to cross the Colorado River. From the top, it looks like a ribbon. When you get to actually see it close up, it's a rushing river. There are rafters. It's bright red, deep red crimson color from all the minerals washing down. And you just think about the age of the planet, the history of the Native Americans in the canyon. The first explorers, John Wesley Powell, mm-hmm. one-armed Civil War survivor, who was the first to navigate the Colorado River down through the canyon in a wooden boat.
Amazing.
So there's so much history, there's so much geology, there's so much culture. It's a unique place on the planet, and I think once you get drawn in, it's hard to
You have to be in some kind of shape to do this. I mean, I would take a Buick if I could, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't get too far.
No. Do they still have mules?
They do. The mules will take people up to 250 pounds fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go halfway down. Well, the mules go down from the South Rim. They do not go on the North Rim. So you can take the mules down from the South Rim halfway to the Indian Garden, which is a natural oasis. You can see a little bright green strip from the top with binoculars. You can sort of see this bright green, and that's where all the water is pumped up, actually, for the hotels at the top. Or you can go all the way down to the bottom and then stay at the bottom overnight and then be carried out again by the mule.
Well, I like the sound of that. Our guest is Andrea Schwartz. We talk travel today, national parks to start. But any travel question you have, Andrea is a real expert on all the ins and outs of the passenger bill of rights and things that I've never even contemplated, like getting a full refund within 24 hours on an airplane. But getting back to the national parks, and by the way, the number here, if you have a question, is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So you've been to 40 national parks.
Yes.
Aside from one that you obviously enjoy, what's your favorite?
That's kind of like asking what your favorite child is.
I like the Grand Tetons, right? That's nice.
Grand Tetons, wonderful. Yellowstone is a remarkable place to be. Yellowstone actually has 5 different kinds of geologic places. There's a Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. There's the Yellowstone River and the lake. There's a mountainous region, a volcanic region, and, of course, why everybody goes to see Old Faithful.
Right.
The mud pots. This is kind of like what the Earth looked like when it was first formed. Bubbling mud pots. This is coming up from the core of the Earth.
Yeah.
So actually, somebody died there a few weeks ago. Some reckless person came off the boardwalk in the geyser area and started walking towards it and disappeared. They never found the body.
Well, that's a nightmare for a travel agent, eh?
Well, I didn't book his trip.
And oh, good.
I would have
as
told
long as
him,
they pay in advance, you're probably all set.
I would have told him not to do that.
Our guest today, Andrea Schwartz. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go on over to the phones and take one or two before our first break here. And Susan in Kingston. Susan, you're on.
Hi. Yes, hello there. You're talking about the Grand Canyon, which is good because it's a place I want to go. There are only 2 things that I really want to do there, but I can't find any travel books or any place where, you have to go here and go there and go there. I don't want to go to Las Vegas. I just want to go see the Grand Canyon. I want to go down by Mule, and I want to go to the bridge, the Rainbow Bridge or whatever it's called, that glass thing.
Well, the Rainbow Bridge, if you're talking about the Rainbow Bridge, that's actually in Lake Powell, so I'm not sure exactly what
it's that glass. It's like a horseshoe-shaped glass thing that goes over the canyon.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. That's not actually called the Rainbow Bridge. The Rainbow Bridge is a sacred Native American site in Lake Powell.
Okay.
So you're talking about, this is a Navajo project. It was built a number of years ago. It's a glass walkway.
Wow.
And you can actually walk out, out into the canyon and look down, and it's all glass enclosed. It's not part of the national park system. It's on native land, and it's far, far away from the main area of the Grand Canyon. You can certainly access it, in a day, but that's a totally separate issue. So the National Park Service operates the parks. They don't have any facilities of that nature. They have just the concessionaires for the park, so there are restaurants and some rustic hotels, some a little bit more comfortable hotels, but they don't offer that kind of thing. Now, the Mule, that is definitely a concessionaire for Grand Canyon. It's operated, I think, by Xanterra, but you need to call them a full year in advance in order to book it.
Really? To book a Mule?
Yeah, well...
Can you bring your own?
No. Not only can you not bring your own, but if you get into trouble, the mules can't carry you out. It's
for Pete's sake.
Not allowed. So you have to actually pay $3,000 for a helicopter if you're in trouble.
Well, why don't you just skip the middleman, Susan, and book the helicopter?
Well, they do 350 rescues. They do 350 rescues a year by helicopter.
You're kidding me. 350 people need to be rescued out of the Grand Canyon.
A lot of people do a very bunch of stupid things every year, and I have seen them.
Well, like what?
Like putting on flip-flops and a can of Pepsi.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
And not preparing with sunscreen and a hat and proper footwear and realizing that it's 25 miles, and it could be 125 degrees.
Okay, but aren't there proctors or people at the edge saying, hey, look, the flip-flops got to go, man. You're not going to make it, no?
Well, first of all, the Park Service has had a lot of funding cuts, so there are far fewer rangers than there used to be. But there are signs everywhere warning you about the dangers, and you need to be intelligent. You need to be prepared. So I advise all of my clients who go to the canyon to hike at least a quarter of a mile down the Bright Angel Trail on the South Rim, just to get a feel, because you can't really get a feel unless you hike in a bit. Having said that, there are 6 million visitors to the South Rim, only 500,000 to the North Rim, and just a few thousand actually hike deep into the canyon, even though it's the most invigorating and extraordinary experience. So if you want to go to the canyon, you do not have to go to Las Vegas, to get back to your question. Fly to Phoenix. Spend a day or two in Scottsdale and Phoenix. There are wonderful things to see, like the Heard Museum, which is one of the premier museums of Native American artifacts. And plus, it's a very beautiful area. Then you can go up to through Flagstaff, and there's I think it's the Lowell Observatory, so you can stop there and
observe Lowell.
What's that?
And observe Lowell.
Yeah, well, no, you can observe the sky. They have a wonderful telescope there.
Right. Well, we'll take a break here, and Andrea Schwartz is our guest. We're just getting started on a travel edition of Vox Pop. Oh, the fun we're going to have. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley, Your Life, Your Plan, Your Portfolio, PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com. The Whistling Kettle, helping to promote tea culture in the Capital Region with over 150 teas and menu of sweet and savory selections. TheWhistlingKettle.com for live chat. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook.
Welcome back to Vox Pop. Number to call here, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff, your humble host. We're joined today by Andrea Schwartz, who is a travel zealot and a travel planner and a real expert on the Grand Canyon. All right, we'll go from Grand Canyon to a parking lot. This one came in via email and is from Barbara, who says, parking at JFK, any recommendations?
There's no good parking at JFK. Just suck it up and do it. There's really no good way.
It's actually tough love right there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's unfortunate. Actually, if you can fly out of Newark, there are a number of hotels at the Newark airport. And with a one-night stay, they include a free, I think it's 10 days of parking. And it's supervised parking, so they're patrolled.
Well, that's good.
And your car is safe. And then they can shuttle you to the airport and back when you arrive. But you need to book it in advance because there are a limited number of spaces. But I advise my clients to do that. The other option, rent a one-way vehicle. You can pick up a one-way rental car from Hertz or Avis or any of the...
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then you can just drop it off at the airport, hop on the shuttle, and you're done with your car. You're done with all of that business, and you can just get on the plane and not worry about your car.
Can you rent a mule?
Not that I've checked out, but maybe you can do that franchise.
All right, let's go to Wendy and Bern. Wendy, you're on with Andrea Schwartz.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. My husband and I are considering a trip to Germany next year, so I've started a little research. Two factors here for me. One is that it is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses and sending off the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
So I'm anticipating a lot of people. Secondly, my husband's got some long-lost relatives in Berlin, and so I started doing a little glancing at Berlin information, and it talks about the parking and the driving being atrocious.
Yeah.
So, although my first inclination is to set my own agenda, my own itinerary, and go on our own, I'm wondering whether Germany is better done on a tour.
Well, it depends on how well-traveled you are. Have you traveled in Europe on your own?
I have.
Okay.
We went to Istanbul last summer.
Okay, so my instinct in general for most of my clients is go, in most places, go on your own. I think you'll be fine. European cities are congested. I grew up in New York City. I learned to drive a stick shift in New York City, so I'm not intimidated, and I drove the whole Amalfi Coast with hairpin turns, you know, a couple of years ago. So I'm not intimidated by that. If you have a lot of anxiety, I would say there's a lot of wonderful rail travel in Europe. So you can bring the car and use it if you're going to travel extensively through Germany. But just park it at the hotel and then use the public transportation to get around the city. And I would not be daunted by the 500th anniversary. There's plenty of hotel rooms. Just book them in advance so that you get a reasonably good deal. But I would part of the reason people travel is for these kinds of unique experiences. I wouldn't be daunted by it. I would go for it.
What kind of party will they have for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? Boy, it's going to be a real wing-ding, huh?
Well, you know, Luther brewed his own beer.
Well, you make a point.
I was
going to
say, a lot of beer.
A valuable point. Hey, Wendy, thanks for the call.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
Go
Thank
on
you.
Your own. Bye-bye. I advise that. Bye-bye.
800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's funny. Rail trail, always a good option in Europe.
Yeah, very much.
And I was lamenting in the green room before the show the state of rail trail in America.
Yeah.
And I mean, I used to, my father, he loved the rails. And so we took one time we went from Chicago to Seattle on the Empire Builder. And it's like the most memorable trip I remember taking. And I guess the Empire Builder still runs, but finding out about it on the Amtrak website requires a decoder ring.
Very difficult. Not what it used to be, that's for sure. We need a lot of infrastructure changes, I think.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. And Irene in Limass. Irene, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
First-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
Good.
I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
21 years ago, we had the good fortune of going on a motorized river raft through the Grand Canyon.
Uh-huh.
For 7 days. It was the most thrilling experience of my life.
I bet.
And so I know, you know, about what you're talking about. So now here, 20-some-odd years later, we would like to plan a trip to Yosemite and also probably Yellowstone. Want to know two things. What's the best time of year, spring, fall? We don't want to travel in the summer. And do you recommend a company? I know these parks aren't near each other, so we might have to do two trips. But do you recommend a company?
Well, you know, I hesitate to do that because I really think that the best way to see these parks is to be doing them on your own. You do not want to be herded on and off of a bus. And
Okay.
I recommend tours for very specific places, places which are difficult with language or difficult to travel or difficult to make connections. But I think you can absolutely do this on your own. I don't know, how much time do you have?
Probably as much as we'd want to have.
Okay.
So,
Yellowstone is a minimum of 5 days, and you need to stay in the park. So whenever you decide to go, make your reservations a good year in advance. Now, if you're flexible with time and, you know, you can.
We are.
So that's
fine.
So, I mean, right now, all of the hotels are booked throughout the entire summer into the fall. The summer is a perfectly wonderful time to go to Yellowstone, not so much for Yosemite. And I would tend to combine. I would go in the summer to Yellowstone because it gets pretty cold. And, in fact, last night I get bulletins. I get hundreds of emails and bulletins. It was actually 30 degrees there last night.
Nice.
So I don't know that you'd want to. I don't know what how your tolerance is for weather, but you can't really enjoy the parks hiking if you're cold. So I would suggest go to Yellowstone for 5 days for sure, and then head south to the Grand Tetons and spend a few days there as well. And then if you want to finish it up with a flourish, drive down to Utah. And if it's off season, you can stay in Park City, Utah. You can see the Olympic site there, and you can fly out of there. You can fly out of Salt Lake City, which is just a very short, easy drive from Park City.
Where would you fly into?
Oh, you can fly into Billings, Bozeman.
And,
you know, it depends on. Take a look at the map and see if there are things you want to see, because, I mean, I frequently do these national park trips, and I send people into the Dakotas, to South Dakota, the Badlands, and then drive west. And then you can drive something called the Beartooth Pass, which is one of the Charles Kuralt called it the most beautiful road in the world, and I've been on a lot of beautiful roads. I'd say it's in the top five. So it's spectacular, but it closes very early in the fall and opens very late in the spring because it's very high altitude. And so if you wanted to include that, you would have to, you know, you'd have to take a look at the season.
So late summer would be a good time.
Okay, well, it's still open in late summer. Yeah, I mean, if you have... Go ahead.
You think, well, okay, a couple of senior citizens could navigate this.
Absolutely, without question. You speak the language. There's lots of places to stop. You get a rental car, and it's going to be in good shape. And and if you're not really worried
about...
Yeah.
2 weeks for the whole thing?
2 weeks?
2 weeks should do it. Yeah, you can do... If you actually land in... South Dakota, you can do the Badlands, and there's some fascinating things to see in South Dakota. It's really the beginning of the West. So the terrain is unique, and you can head west from there through, you can go to Cody, Wyoming, which is a really fun place to visit. They have a world-class museum in Cody, Wyoming. And then keep going west across the Beartooth, and then you'll enter into the eastern end of Yellowstone. Stay put for 5 days, though. Don't move around from different hotels. The best area, I personally think, is to stay in the lake area. It's a huge park, and there are buffalo on the road sometimes that'll hold you up.
You got to have that.
So, yeah, you do. It's a very exciting thing when they start charging your car. So I would stay in the park for 5 days, then head south to the Tetons, and then leave out of Salt Lake City, and you can do a couple of days in Park City. Always end a national park trip with a couple of days of R&R.
Irene, thank you for the call very much. We appreciate it. Now, there are some people who might be more comfortable in a tour situation, right?
I'm sure that's true, and... For my clients, I generally try to talk them out of it, unless there are really serious issues like, you know, I have people traveling with wheelchairs and oxygen, and unless they're really concerned, generally speaking, the majority of places are very easy to navigate if you plan properly. I mean, I think you should work with a qualified travel agent who has been there. I don't think that just plugging in a trip on a map is necessarily the best way to go. I think advice is very valuable.
That's the way I go. I just plug it in.
You know, tell me how it goes then.
Well, it hasn't gone well. Our guest is Andrea Schwartz, 800-348-2551. Karen and Rhinebeck is next. Karen, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi. I was just wondering if you've been to the National Park on St. John, Virgin Islands. I'm going to be going there in a couple weeks.
And I have not. That's one of the few that's evaded me. But St. John is a beautiful island, actually. So,
yes.
Yeah, it should be a great trip.
Okay. All right.
Well, yep.
I'll go and report back.
Okay, thank you.
We appreciate that. You stumped
it's on my list.
Let's go to Jan in Albany. Jan, you're on.
Hi, thank you. My husband and I are going to be driving west in the fall. We'll have about a month, and we're headed for Yellowstone and Grand Tetons. I'm interested in finding out what centers, what resources there would be along the way or out in that area to learn about the Native people.
Oh, okay, there's a good deal, actually. So I suggest the first stop would be the ranger station, and they often have Native American folklore. They have performances occasionally. A lot of this is seasonal, though, so you have to time it right.
The ranger station in the park?
Yeah, the ranger station in the park. You can also go to the park website, and it generally will list not terribly far in advance, but reasonably well in advance, the types of activities they offer.
Right.
And
I was wondering too if any of the tribes out there have festivals or centers where they themselves are sharing their culture with people that may be interested.
Well, I know for a fact that the Grand Canyon has a Native performance frequently. It's almost daily during the season. Yellowstone is less likely to offer that type of thing. It's much more of a geological experience and a natural environment experience. So I know also that
anything in that area too, anything in that region of the country.
A Glacier Lake in Montana, they do Native performances, they do storytelling. But again, a lot of it is hit and miss, and a lot of it would be the kind of thing you'd have to look up, which is why I'm saying talk to the rangers when you get there, because they'll have the most up-to-date information on the types of activities that are nearby. Now, just having said that, Yellowstone is gigantic. So, you know, and it's not on Native land. So when you drive from certain parks to other parts of the country, you will be driving through reservations. Driving from the South Rim to the North Rim, which is a 5.5-hour drive, you're mostly in Navajo country. Having said that, again, there are powwows available. Generally speaking, they are not open to the general public. They are Native events that are sacred, and they are not generally inviting in other people. But I would contact two things. I would contact the Gustav Hay Center with the National Museum of the American Indian. That's the branch in New York City. And I would contact the one in Washington, D.C., because they have a lot of resources there, and they may be able to help you on specific events in particular parks or near particular parks. The other thing I would mention is if you're in Arizona, there is a place called Canyon de Chelly. It's spelled de Chelly, C-H-E-L-L-E-Y, Canyon de Chelly, it's pronounced. And that's Navajo land, and you can actually spend an entire day with a Navajo guide in a Jeep or in the back of a truck and spend the entire day just talking to them. There are still some Anasazi natives living at the bottom of this canyon. They're still farming corn. And it is a quite remarkable experience. So that is the most immersed I've ever been in a Native American experience. That was an invitation-only kind of thing where you're allowed on their land. You cannot drive there yourself. You cannot hike there without permits and a guide. But Canyon de Chelly is one of those unique places that you will be able to experience the Navajo culture with a Navajo leader. And I would strongly suggest that to any listener out there who's ever in Arizona. This is a great diversion, a great place to go.
Jan, thanks for the call. Our guest today, Andrea Schwartz, a custom travel planner, and we're having a good time today. Now, here's a topic that's near and dear to your heart, I know. Let's go to Paul in Saratoga Springs. Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Thinking about going out west to go skiing, and I have
skiing. Okay, great idea. I approve.
but my question is, I did a little bit of research and found out that lift tickets were about $160 each. So it makes it pretty expensive for a family of, you know, six people to go out there. And I was wondering if it would be cheaper to go to Europe.
No, it's actually not cheaper to go to Europe. And the other problem with going to Europe is that the connections to these places are a lot more complicated. You know, you're driving through the Alps, the roads are difficult, there's a language issue. My suggestion, the first place I took my kids when they were little, Steamboat Springs, because kids ski free in Steamboat.
Wow, still?
Still, yes. So with an adult lift ticket.
Up until what age?
I think 12. I'm not sure. But it's a good deal, a really good deal. And then they have junior prices as well. It's a great family mountain. They have.
Yeah, I've been to Steamboat myself, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to take the kids there.
Yeah.
So I know it's a great family mountain.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest. I mean, I ski Vail every year, but I buy the season pass. It's the greatest bargain in skiing because for $750, you have unlimited skiing in Vail, in Beaver Creek, in Park City, Utah, in Japan.
Japan?
Yeah, that includes a Europe venue, a Japanese venue.
Huh.
So wherever you want to go, it's the biggest bargain in skiing because the lift ticket is there $130, and for $750, it's a real bargain. But the other resorts don't offer that. It's called the Epic Pass, and you can look it up. You might want to consider maybe Park City in Utah because it's only a 40-minute drive from the airport. And if you buy the Epic Pass for one of you, you're allowed to buy 3 discount passes per day with that one pass of yours. So that might give you a real bargain as well. It's called the Epic Pass. I think it's only available for the 2016 season for another 3 or 4 weeks, and then you can't purchase it anymore. So I would take a look at the Epic Pass on ski.com or just Google it, and that might be an option as well. And double check the age of Steamboat and see see what the age of free skiing for children is. But that's a great mountain. I'm glad you've been there, and get to Vail sometime if you can.
Paul, thank you very much for the call. So you love skiing.
I love skiing.
And so some of the big mountains out west, there must be too much for the beginner, right?
Nope, not at all. And that's my husband tried to convince me of that a million years ago when we were skiing in Vermont, freezing and falling on sheer ice and riding up these rickety old chairlifts and miserable and 10 below. And we finally went out to Aspen for our first trip.
Yeah.
And other than the fact that we drove in a blizzard for 12 hours to get there from Denver.
You see,
was,
not all a bed of roses.
Little tricky.
By the way, you know, I got to stick up for Vermont. They have some beautiful ski areas up there. And
they do, but
really
this was
fantastic.
A bad winter and there was no snow.
Oh, I got you.
No snow.
We'll take a break here. Andrea Schwartz is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. We travel the globe.
Support for WAMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. The Ashokan Center, where nature inspires, presenting a square and Cajun dance and barbecue under the stars with the Pine Leaf Boys, Jay and Molly, and Caller will mentor Saturday, August 13th. Ashokancenter.org. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Ninepin Cider Works, hard cider made from locally sourced apples, tasting room Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. Drink New York apples. Ninepincider.com. And Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products, and gifts. WaterwheelVillage.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. We talk travel today with Andrea Schwartz, and you're a regular listener to this station, right?
I am.
You've been listening a long time.
A long time.
Aren't you underwhelmed by Studio A? Isn't it beautiful? Oh, boy.
Makes me want to donate more.
Well, there you go. One thing that you must know by now is that we have very smart listeners, and this came in via email from Myra, who writes, please let the caller know that there is an active Google forum on Cinnamon Bay, the state campground on St. John's. Very useful advice on everything from camping supplies, travel, etc.
Thank you.
You see?
Thank
helpful
you. There you go.
Smart.
Yeah.
It's a WAMC listener in a nutshell.
Well, I must confess that I like big mountains and big rocks, so I tend to not go to the national parks that are on beaches.
Wow. And what a snob.
I know.
All right, so this is now the home stretch of the show. So we will try to blast through as many calls as we can and be as helpful as we can and not cut people off, but we'll just move it along. And let's go to Gail in Scaticoke. Gail, you're on.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, I'm a 70-year-old, also a hiker, and I'm thinking about a trip to London or to England on the cheap, and I'm thinking about hostels, and I'm wondering if that's a realistic experience for someone in my age category.
Well, you know, I can't see you, so I don't know how fit you are, but you might end up in a bunk bed, and that might not be the most comfortable situation. You're very fit. Okay, that's good to know. Where do you plan to go? Are you going to travel around the country or visit London?
Yeah, and I'm thinking of doing it by bus rather than train because it gets to some places. I'm just kind of poking around.
Okay, and you don't want to drive once you leave London?
No.
No, okay. I would take a look at the bed and breakfast before I would look at the youth hostels because I think that I don't think that the accommodations are always what you might expect or what you might be comfortable with. And if you're traveling around for a while with a lot of luggage, it might be difficult to manage. They can be up three flights.
Yeah, my other question is on luggage. If I want to travel really light, I'm not quite sure how to do it, or is there a way to get my luggage from place? Because I want to do a lot of walking. Is there a
way to get my luggage from place? What time of the year are you going?
I understand September is the least rainy part.
Yeah, well, it's a roll of the dice because the weather doesn't always cooperate, but that's what they say. So you could get lucky. I mean, I think the buses are an okay idea, but I think if you're going to go, let's say, from London to Oxford or Cambridge, the train is a much more efficient, quick way to go. And the train stations say to be located in more accessible areas close to places you might want to be. So I would look into a BritRail pass because then you can go up to Scotland and I don't know how long you have, but if you're interested in going to Ireland, there's an airline called Ryanair. They are the amazing airline of Europe. They invented cheap travel. You can fly from Scotland to Dublin for about $30.
Yikes.
And it's all booked online. There is no one to talk to. You can only bring, I think it's about 28 pounds of luggage, and they'll charge you for anything over that. So what we did, actually, we were coming from Scotland. My husband and my son were playing at the old course in Scotland, the original golf course of the world. And then we were on our way to Dublin. And we found out that if we just spent something like $30 per golf bag, that whatever it weighed was no extra cost.
Oh, interesting.
So we stuffed all of our luggage, everything heavy, into the golf bags, and then we made the 22 pounds or whatever. So,
well, Gail, thank you for that call.
Think about Ryanair, though.
So I guess then if I wanted to bring scotch back, just get rid of the clubs and put the scotch right in the golf bags?
Only two bottles, otherwise you're in trouble with the government. Right. That's a duty-free item.
Let's go to Wendy in Slingerlands. Wendy, you're on.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, I just have a quick question for you.
Yep.
Interested in taking a Mediterranean cruise in November of 2017, and it leaves in the beginning of the month, but it would arrive in Rome towards the middle of the month. And I have been to Italy before, but in May, and I'm just wondering if that's too off-season.
It depends on what you want to do. The latest I've been in Rome was October. It was cool, but Rome is quite southerly compared to some of the more northern parts. Are you planning to go to Venice, or do you have any idea?
Yeah, I've done Venice before, and actually Venice is one of the spots earlier in the cruise.
It's cooler. It's definitely cooler, but that's fine if you're prepared for it. You know, it's much less crowded, so that's good. I don't know if you know where the port is, though. The Rome port is Civita Vecchia, and it's a good two hours from the city, so it's quite a haul. If you're not going to spend any time in Rome on your own, and you're just going to Rome from the port, it's a pretty big trip. So
I think
just keep
we're
that
planning
in mind.
On staying at least overnight in Rome, if not two nights.
Yeah, I would
definitely.
Yeah, I would do three. Actually,
okay.
A minimum
three
of
nights.
Three.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And if you do a little bit more, you can head down to Pompeii for the day. There's one-day trips down to Pompeii, which is a unique experience. I would not pass it up. If you're flying that far, I wouldn't pass it up.
Okay, but we're talking about middle of November, so you're saying as long as you're prepared for the cool weather, it doesn't seem to be a problem to
no.
go at that time of the year.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Just bring what you know, whatever clothing you think you're going to need, and you should be fine.
Okay, Wendy, thanks a lot for the call. Andrea Schwartz is our guest, 800-348-2551. Rob in Canaan, New York. Rob, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, thank you, Andrea. So my wife and I are planning a trip to the Greek islands next September, and I'm just wondering if you have any advice, which islands and how to tour them.
So I think obviously the option is a cruise, and I think honestly, there are certain islands you don't want to miss, but I think it's really important for you to take a good look and do your homework, because some of the cruises stop everywhere, and I don't know that that's a great idea.
Why?
Because you don't
We'd like to spend, you know, a couple of nights. It's like a two-week thing. We're
right.
in our mid-60s,
okay.
so we want to enjoy a few islands rather than hit, you know, half a dozen.
Exactly. So, I mean, I could recommend different cruise lines, but I think that your best bet is really to go on the Cruise Critic. It's a really good website, and I don't usually advocate some of these aggregated cruise kind of critic things, but this particular one is good, and it'll give you a really good idea of who's sailing there, what their ranking is in terms of comfort and size. I would strongly suggest you stick to a smaller ship. I would not go on anything large, because that eliminates some of the smaller ports, and you don't get the same kind of exotic feel of the Greek Isles that you would if you weren't a smaller ship.
Oh,
so I would try and stick to 400 passengers, 400 passengers or less would be my best advice for that. But to recommend a particular...
Any idea of which islands would be at the top of your list?
You know, I've been to 8, and I think it's kind of hard for me to say. I would do some reading, because each of them offers different kinds of experiences. One has a mule ride up to the top of a mountain, and one has some snorkeling. So I think that the experience really should be related to, I mean, if you were my client, I would do a huge interview. Where have you been? Do you snorkel?
Like mules?
Right. Do you like mules? How high can you, how far can you hike? Can you
right.
deal with
love
altitudes?
Mules.
You love mules. So, okay. Get on the website, pick out the cruise lines that interest you, and then take a look at their itineraries. And that would be my best advice. That would be how I would work with you if I were doing it.
Rob, thank you so much for the call. Over to Jess in the Berkshires. Jess, you're on.
Hi, I'm Jess. My parents are coming up from Southern California, where I'm originally from, and they're trying to find out what would be the best weekend trip for them, either Niagara Falls, that big white hotel in New Hampshire, or like the Maine coast.
So those are the three options? I would say Niagara Falls, and I would say go to the Canadian side, because the American side is full of wax museums and taffy shops.
I like wax museums.
Well, there's my prejudice. There it is.
I like the Maine coast, Jess, just so you know.
Okay, well, he's the expert on Maine.
We just got back from Southern Maine, and I love it.
They're from California, Southern California.
Oh, that won't maybe not as thrilling.
The beaches there are pretty impressive.
Plus, we will not like the water right away. It'll take you a couple of years to get used to it.
No, but the beaches in California, the water is cold, actually, too. So
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I would say of those three options, well, how about New York City? Go see a play.
Oh, they've been there plenty of times.
Okay, fine. Then Niagara, the Canadian side.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for the call. All righty. Paul in Northampton. Paul, you're on.
Oh, hi, Andrea. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure.
I share your passion for the Grand Canyon. I've backpacked a couple of times down to the bottom and out to Ribbon Falls and various areas. So my question is, I'm a sea kayaker.
Yep.
I mostly paddle off the coast of New England, and I'm thinking about a mothership sea kayaking experience up the British Columbia coast, where there might be 6 to 8 couples on board. You would be transported part of the way, it'd be a new place to paddle during the day, and then you have showers and meals at night.
Great idea.
And I'm wondering if you have resources that I could research. I'm just, you know, searching the internet, and I'm coming up with all kinds of commercial offers that I don't really trust.
Yeah. Well, you know, is this something that he could email me about?
Because, oh, absolutely. In fact, why don't we give your email address?
Maybe it's best for you to email me because this is very involved and we would need to talk extensively and we don't have a whole lot of time
no,
right now.
No, we don't. All right, so what is that email address, Andrea?
So A-N-D-R-E-A-A-I-R-O-N-E at gmail.com. Andrea Air1 at gmail.com.
A-R-1.
A-I-R. My name, A-N-D-R-E-A. A-I-R, the word air, and O-N-E, the word one, at Gmail.
Gmail?
Yeah, drop me a line and I can, you know, we can get into it. I would, before we get off, though, I would suggest that, have you looked at Alaska? Because that's another option for the sea kayaking.
I'm also looking at that because I would assume that we would get up into southern Alaska at some point.
Right, right. Well, the Kenai Peninsula.
I am aware of some of the Prince William Sound kayaking trips. And I'm a longtime hiker. 46er and 4,000 footer in
Excellent.
The whites, and I love to camp and can rough it pretty much.
Okay.
So that would be an option as well.
A man right. after my own heart. Check out the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska as well.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Colin in Saugerties. Colin, you're on with Andrea Schwartz.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to make a comment about the national parks. I've been to 36 myself.
Good.
In all of them. And, I find the best time to go is right after school's back in September. You find that the parks are empty, little off-season, but you get the parks to yourself.
That's true. That is a very good suggestion,
you know,
and I support
I've been
that.
To Yellowstone in June, July, and August, and it's I say to everyone, welcome to New York City traffic.
Well, the roads do get clogged up, yeah.
Thanks for
sure.
the call. Over to Peter in Albany. Peter, you're on.
Yes, hello. Just a quick question. At some point, I want to plan about a two-week trip to, like, Banff and Jasper and that area. I don't
Great.
Know much about it. Wondering what the best time of year. We also do a little skiing, you know, intermediate skiing. So should we go in winter and enjoy it then, or what season do you love?
No, I would definitely do this in the summer. The summer is the time to see these parks. The thing about the Canadian Rockies, and I've been to all of them, Yoho, Kootenay, Jasper, Banff, all of them, they're very accessible, and as far as national parks in the United States, the roads are very difficult to navigate. They have the Icefields Parkway, and you can head up from the International Peace Park on the border, Glacier International Peace Park with Canada, and just head straight up, and you can access Banff, Lake Louise, Jasper. It's spectacularly beautiful. Hiking is great. It stays light out till 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So you really get a lot of bang for your buck. I would not choose to ski there. I don't think it's going to have anything on the Western skiing in the United States. People come from all over the world there. So
to hit the off season a little, late summer or fall or spring? Or
Late summer, maybe very early fall. But Jasper is way up there north. You can fly into Edmonton and drive south. And I would not go too much later if you want to enjoy the parks.
Thanks for that call. She hung up. We had a call. Is Valerie still there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Valerie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
First of all, are you in Palm City? Are you actually in Florida right now?
No, I'm actually traveling back to Florida. I'm at the tail end of my two-week road trip from upstate New York for a family reunion.
Cool.
And I'm driving solo down back to Florida, and I was looking for maybe something interesting. I'm going to stop by in probably South Carolina. Is there any really good attraction that wouldn't take me far off my path between, like, South Carolina and, you know, the west coast of Florida?
Well,
I found a sinkhole last year on my road trip, which was really cool.
You can find that on Lake Ave here in Albany.
Yeah.
North Lake.
Oh, really?
I would say North Carolina. Kitty Hawk is an interesting place. They have a museum. It's the first place where the Wilbur and Orville Wright brothers did their flight in Kitty Hawk, and there's a museum and replicas of
it. In North Carolina?
That's in North Carolina, Kitty Hawk, and it's actually a very beautiful beach area. So that would be one option. It's pretty hot there now, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's a scorcher all the way down.
Yeah.
That's a fun drive.
Anyway,
though.
Yeah, I'll be close at, like, I-95, like, for most of my trip, you know, at a certain point. So is there anything else you can think of?
Not really.
Pedro, south of the border.
Oh, God. No.
Okay, fair enough.
Not much off the highway.
Well, that's a fun drive. I've done that solo trip myself. But, you know, it clears the mind. Yep. Time to think.
Yeah, it sure does.
All right, well,
well, it was enjoyable listening to you, and I'll keep listening.
Thank
Valerie,
you.
Valerie, thanks a lot for the call. You can always listen online at
WMC.org. Safe travel. Thanks.
All right, we only have about a minute here, so let's quickly go to Sean in Coxsackie. Sean, you only have about 30 seconds to pose the question.
Okay, Andrea, so I'm thinking about going on an organized trip to the Dolomites skiing in Italy for about 12 days. Wondering if you have any recommendations or any insight onto it.
I think that's a great idea. If you go with an organized trip, you're going to pay a lot less for the lift tickets. You're going to have your transportation taken care of because it's a little tricky to navigate. But I think that's a great idea. I would not go in December around the holidays. I would wait.
Why is that?
Because it's crowded and difficult to get around, and the
flights
are going
to be expensive. Yeah, it's like the first last few days of February and first week of March.
Okay, that's probably the best suggestion. I think that's a good idea. But,
well, I guess that's where we will have to leave it. Sean, thank you for the call. We got through all the calls.
Amazing, yeah.
So,
but we didn't get to talk about all the rules that people need to break.
I guess that means we have to have you back.
Okay.
Andrea Schwartz, you did a heck of a great job
thank
for
you.
Your first
time. Thank
you.
It was great fun. I really enjoyed it.
I know you were awed by Studio A, but
I got stumped by the Virgin Islands. That's the one thing I don't do is these beach parks. I'm really into the high mountains, as I said. But
well, thank you so much. And if we don't talk to you before you go to the canyon again, well, hopefully we will, but good luck on the ninth trip.
Thank you.
Support comes from Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting the annual Arts and Crafts Festival, featuring regional handmade arts and crafts, including jewelry, clothing, pottery, baskets, soaps, and more. August 27th, 10 to 3, SchenectadyHistorical.org. Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls, more than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward, DLSPECHT.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, HenyonBakery.com. And Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Thanks again to Andrea Schwartz for joining us today. Thanks to our engineer, Jordan Taylor. Thanks to Bruce Herbach for answering the calls. Our producer, Jessica Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we welcome back good old Bob Berman for an astronomy show. Stay tuned now for news.